It's an honor for me to be here today to share the Word of God with you. This is the message. I've done a series of the Ten Commandments. It's been a long time since I've traveled through this series, but it's a wonderful series to travel through. And the reason why, when God in His creation plan wrote down 10 things, I call them the top 10, God's top 10 of what is important for you and I. He's a loving God. He is the Lamb of God. There's a lot of ways we look at Christ. But I want to share this with you today. He is a warrior God. He is a mighty warrior. The first war ever declared in this world was declared in heaven. And God kicked Satan and a third of the angels out. He didn't mess around doing it. Now, so we have this picture of God sometimes. The best way I can say God, in other words, beside God itself, is love. God is love. Man, He loves us so much, He chose to give His Son's life for my life. No greater love than no man's ever seen. But He is a warrior God. And what God is a warrior of, He's not a warrior against people, because people are made in His image. We're supposed to be a reflection of God. He's a warrior of sin. He will not put up with sin. He will not even give a crack in the door for sin. Sin is sin. And whenever sin is exposed, God will annihilate it. He'll cleanse it. And when sin came into our life in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, there was 10 commandments. And when they broke those commandments, they died, some of them, for breaking those commandments. That's how serious it is. Because God knows if He lets sins continue to run wild, it'll destroy the human race. It'll destroy His image. And we're not a very good reflection of His image. But He's seen that we as mankind could fail so easily. So He did a thing called grace, the New Testament, the New Covenant with us. His grace covenant, man, He'll forgive all of our sins. He sent His Son to shed His blood for the atonement of my sins. Now you think of much how much God hates sin. He gave His only begotten Son to deal with my sin and your sin. He's a warrior God. He shed His own Son's blood for the remission of my sins. So when I talk about God, the message today is the serious side of God. That's the title of this message, the serious side. He has a very serious side. He happens to be God. He's boss. He's a loving boss. But He's very serious when it comes to sin. He will deal with it. And here's our problem. Every one of us in this room are sinners. Say amen. You know, when I say that, everybody just looks at me like, that preacher said he's a sinner? Yeah, I want you to say it too. It makes us all feel better, all right? We're all sinners, amen? We are. I liked how he said it real loud. He's a big sinner. Anyway, so we're here talking about the Ten Commandments. The first four deal with our relationship with Him, who we worship, how we worship. And our mouth is supposed to respect Him, never take His name in vain. And then we remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The Sabbath day is in the top ten. And He says, whenever you keep your Sabbath holy, you'll keep me where I need to be. But you forget the Sabbath day, it'll become about you and not about Him. See, we're made in His image. He wants my face, my body, to be a reflection of the love of Christ. That's why He made us. And so, see, He's serious about sin. Because if sin begins to destroy, it always destroys children first. Let me say it again. Sin always destroys children first, because children pay for the price of big people's sin. Children are innocent, but they always pay for our sin. So children are always on the auction block before anybody else, because how many children are hurt and abused and neglected in this world we live in today? I've been going to Africa for 38 years, and the children in Africa are so neglected. I mean, it's amazing to see that. In America, it's neglected. When you study about how they're neglected. So see, God wants us to reflect Him. He's not against any color, any nationality, any type of people. He's not against Muslims. He's not against Buddhists. He's not against Christians. God loves everybody, because we're all made how? In His image. And He wants His image to reflect what? The love of God. And how does He do that? He gets rid of sin. Today, when we see a baptism candidate comes, they're celebrating Jesus in her heart, and her sin's been paid for, been atonement paid. And so when I preach this today, this commandment is, King James says, thou shalt not kill. A better translation, and I'll deal with that in a few moments, is thou shalt not murder. You can kill without murdering, but you can't murder without killing. Now, that'll mess you up. It takes me a while to get that, too, okay? Let me give you an illustration. If I'm driving down the road in my car, and my left front tire blows out, and my car goes over and hits somebody and kills them, I didn't murder them. I killed them. It was manslaughter. It was not evil. It was not malicious, but still killing. Now, if I'm drinking and I'm drunk and my car hits somebody and kills them, I murdered them because I made a premeditated choice to get in my car, not able to drink, able to drive. See the difference? So there's a difference between killing and murdering. Let me tell you something. When you read in your Bible in the Old Testament, when God changed the nationality of people, look at all the war that went on in the Old Testament, how many thousands and thousands have died, and God led the charge to kill them. He is a warrior God. Don't we celebrate David killing that giant? You know what he did? He killed the giant. You know why? Because that giant was destroying the image of God, and God took him out. To a little guy named David. So see the difference between killing and murder. The best translation is murder. Thou shalt not murder. So this is a commandment you would think would be the most revered commandment of all. We don't need to rehearse this because we know how important that is. The least kept commandment is the Sabbath day. It's the least kept commandment in our world today is the Sabbath day. And that gives us an understanding how our image sure is to stain God because God wants us to be there weekly to come close to Him and Him close to me and to have cleansing from God. And so all that comes to part. You wouldn't think we need to rehearse thou shalt not murder, but we do. You know why? We've messed up the Sabbath day. When you mess up the day and you don't have a relationship with Christ, man's on his own. The Bible said, man is deceitfully wicked. Who will guard against it, Jeremiah said. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who will guard against it? You know who will guard against it? The Holy Spirit of Christ. His discipline and His love. We're sinners. And so we deal with this today because it's real important to God. When He puts in here, you know, when it says, thou shalt not lie, well, that ain't too big a deal. Thou shalt not kill, that's a bigger deal. But with God, they're all the same deal. You know why? Because we are destroying the image of God through lying, through killing, through missing church. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. Now, the sermon's over with, you're going to learn something today. If you're sitting by somebody, just tell them, I'm going to learn something today. Go ahead and tell them, I'm going to learn something today, okay? I'm going to learn some of the Bible says because it's so messed up in our cultures. Every culture deals with killing differently and murder differently. Every culture does. It's amazing. But I want to take you back to the Bible. I want to show you how important it is to God that you and I become an honest reflection of Him. He's not against people. He's against sin. And He takes sin out. Got it? I think that's okay because God runs the planet. And He loves us so much, He created us in the fullness of His life. So when we come down to this, I want you to know this. I have a lot of goodies in my life, things I like, things that I've worked hard, I really enjoy. I took my grandson a ride in my Mopar yesterday. Man, when I'm banging them gears and spinning rubber, man, my grandson's eyes this big. He's excited. I love my car. But you know what? I love my grandson a lot more than I do my car. When you think about the beautiful part of your life, it's our lives around us. It's our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters. Holding a newborn baby in your life, in your hand. Is there anything more beautiful than that? And Pastor, I've been in a lot of hospital rooms when that mama just delivered that baby and they bring it out and they're holding that little baby. I don't think mama's face could never be any brighter. Daddy's face could never be any brighter. Nothing more beautiful than life. Got it? It's made in the image of Christ. He designed all of that. And so in all the grandeur of the world, all the mountains and all the skies, all sunsets and all the sun rises in the morning, all that we have, all of our beautiful stuff, the most important thing in your life, and be careful, don't forget it, it's life. Our brothers and our sisters. Now let's tell you, when sin gets in the middle of that, it messes up a lot, doesn't it? That's the reason why sin has to be dealt with. We're going to talk about that at the end of this message. Let me just say you right now, you may be sitting next to a murderer and don't know it. I'll get there in a few moments, okay? That's what the Bible says in a few moments. So, see, God wants us to be a reflection in our families. How many families at Thanksgiving and Christmas hope somebody don't show up? It's okay to say amen. They're here, I wouldn't say it. But anyway, families are tough. Families hurt each other. Families just become very painful. I live in a painful family. So do you. It's hard. Because sin can destroy relationships. Sin. Now let me just share this with you. As a Christian, never end your relationship with God because you've been born again and His grace is phenomenal. But you can end your fellowship with God. And when you're out of fellowship with God, you're a miserable person. And your children will know it, your spouses will know it, your loved ones, your employees will know it, when we're not in fellowship with God. But God says when you're His and you get out of fellowship, He'll chase and rebuke or scourge you. He will discipline you to bring you back into fellowship. You know why? He hates sin. He won't allow you to be a representation of Him when it's not holy and loving. So the greatest grandeur in your life, in my life, is life. And we must not kill it. Murder it, or abuse it. But it is running free in our world today. So life is so important to God. In the process of that, I want to take you that as we rehearse this sermon today, I have done prison ministry and jail ministry for over 30 years. Talked to a lot of people inside that have done some horrible things. But here's what I tell them. God's grace is greater than your sin. He can take that murder, that pain that you've afflicted, and He can wash it as white as snow and cleanse it by His grace. So no matter where we are, we all need God, and we need to be in fellowship with God. If you're a person that goes to church when you feel like it, you're not in fellowship with God. You're just not in fellowship with God. Because God commanded we come into that fellowship with God weekly. See, church isn't an option. This is what God wants. Now, we're under grace. Aren't you? Say amen. Aren't we under grace? But shouldn't we, as people under grace, want to do what God wants us to do? And the Ten Commandments tells us what God wants us to do. That's His top ten. I don't know if I'd have put that I'm supposed to go to church on Sunday in my top ten, but God did. It's His top ten. So it's real important. Now, sometimes we have to do it over the screen. Through all kind of social media today because of all the pandemic and social storms that go on in our life. But I don't care where we do it, but we must worship Christ. Worship makes a difference in our life. So God brings that to a part in our life where we understand that and find all that He is, all that we are. Now, I want to take us to the church's position on war and capital punishment. On war and capital punishment according to God's Word. These subject matters are, man, they're a lightning rod. Man, when we talk about war and capital punishment, there's some progressive people that really feel that, man, if somebody kills somebody, we need to love them and it's okay, we don't have to kill them, just let them have life in prison. Well, God didn't say that. God didn't say that in the commandments. He didn't do it. And so I want to teach us what God says about war and what God says about capital punishment. Now, there's a difference between killing, got it? Killing and murder, got it? Murder is premeditated. Murder is malice from your heart. Killing may be accidental. Maybe something you didn't plan, but it just happened. And we call it manslaughter today in our courts and things of that nature. But I'm going to read to you what God says about it and how to deal with it. Because this is God's way under the law. And even though we're under grace, you think we're excused from the law of principles? Say no. Do we want to please God? Say yes. How do we please God? Honor His top ten. No other way. His top 10 are phenomenal. They will help you every day. The more I preach this message, the more I've studied this. Man, I've studied the Ten Commandments, memorized them. But boy, when I got in the meat of it and studied this, my heart is just breaking open to the need to do more for God. Because God is a serious God, and he won't put up with sin. He won't. He just won't. You know why I know that? Because if it was, he wouldn't have had his son die. The price he paid was tremendous, and he will not let me or you escape that. There's a penalty to be paid for it. So we need a picture. The word in Hebrew is rashak. And rashak in Hebrew talks about that murder is a violent, unauthorized killing. Violent and unauthorized killing. Today's translation, it's murder. Let me give you a couple illustrations. Twin Towers. Murdered. That was murder. Malicious. War. Attack. Murder. Terrorist. The violence. Charles Manson. Murder. Hitler. Murder. See the difference? Premeditated evil. I'm going to throw this one in here. You're not going to like it, but I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. Abortion, murder. According to the Bible. Abortion. I'm going to read it. I never had read that verse before. I think I've read the Bible a whole bunch, but I run across it in my study of what murder and killing is and how God dictates it. He's very loose. If you're in a fight, someone breaks in your house and you kill them, you're not guilty. Because they broke in your house, you were defending yourself. But if it's premeditated, if you make a plan to end a life, no longer killing, it becomes murder. That's what the Bible says. Now let me take you to the Bible. Capital punishment in our land today is just up in the air. What should we do with it? States are doing away with it. Nation doing away with it. Our federal government still stands alongside of it. But let me just read a verse, and I want to go to Genesis chapter. Let me read Exodus 20, verse 13. This is a commandment you should be able to memorize. Thou shalt not murder. Real simple, right? Should be easily to pull that off. But it isn't. The people that are being murdered in our streets in America today, well, if we knew those numbers, if we posted those numbers every day in America, we'd all have a loaded gun and walk around with a pistol on us. It's phenomenal. The murder today in America. Thou shalt not murder. Shouldn't have to be rehearsed. But in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, now let me just take you to this. This is an important verse. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Every creature is important to God. You know why? They were made in the image of God. And the Bible says if you kill a man, the way that's taken care of, you die. You die. You know why? Here's this. Say this guy murders you. Okay? Say he murders you, I mean, and you die. But then he gets to go and live in jail forever. That's saying his life was less valuable, more valuable than mine. Let me tell you something. Psychologists and sociologists will tell you that capital punishment hurts us all. Capital punishment by God protects us all. That's why it seems kind of cruel, doesn't it? God, the God of love. God says if you become a murderous, envious person, you should die. Because if you don't, you're going to kill a lot of people. And because you kill people, they'll kill people. And next thing you know, we don't even have family no more. Next thing you know, we can't even come to church without fighting anymore. We just can't. See, he said, so everybody's life is important. You know why? Everybody is made in the image of God. Them little black babies is born in those mud huts in Africa. man, my nurses go in there and they pick up the little babies. And they help deliver some of those babies, and it's a phenomenal day. And they just come out with that little African baby. And there's nothing more beautiful than a baby just born. And every one of those babies in Africa are made under the image of God, but they don't even know who God is. But still under the image of God. Everybody. The most beautiful thing in the world is life. Got it? Because God says it's all about it. Now, in the process of this, he wants us to understand how important it is for us to live our life in the fullness of Christ and all the things he has for us, and to find a way to do it scripturally. Now, in Exodus chapter 21, I'd like to read verse 28 through 29. Makes good sense. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. If an ox, my ox, gets in your yard and kills one of your family members, that ox will die, but as the owner of the ox, I'm acquitted. With no purpose. Go to verse 29. But if the ox tendered to trust with his horn in the past he has spurred some people and has been made known to the owner, and he has kept it confined so that it has killed a man or a woman, or an ox shall be stoned, its owner shall be put to death. If you got you a bad ox over there to kill people, and he gets out and kills somebody else, you die. Because if you can't take care of ox, my people are dying, God says. Because all are made in the image of God. See, we never thought about that. How everybody's important to God. The whole world's important. For God so loved the world. So if you got a bad ox, you're legitimate. There's a malice there in your heart. Why don't you take care of the ox? Because the Bible says so. It's real plain. Exodus 21, verse 22 and 23. This is pretty plain too. If a man fight and hurt a woman with a child, there's a fight going on, a man hurts a pregnant woman so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no lasting harm follows, he says, he surely will be punished according to the woman's husband imposed on him, and he shall pay as the judge determines. So if I have a fight and I hit a pregnant woman and she is harmed and she delivers early because of that, if the baby's fine, the man lives. But he has to pay he has to pay whatever her husband says, you got to pay. So there's a penalty for that, but you live if you hurt a pregnant woman. Read with me, and you would. In verse 17. In verse 22. But if any lasting harm follows his life for her life, for the baby. If that baby dies, that man dies. You know why? That baby was made in the image of God, and through your fighting, you murdered that baby. It wasn't by accident. Should have been fighting. Shouldn't hit a pregnant woman. Got it? So there's accountability. The Bible says if that baby dies, that man dies. You know why? Because if that baby dies, that baby wasn't killed, that baby was murdered. That's a big difference. You may not like that, but God says babies are real important to him. And if you abuse somebody, you pay the price with your life. Now, let me just share this with you. Well, how does that work? Well, back in those days, capital punishment was done in public. So you get up and you drive town in the morning. There's about 20 people hanging on crosses. For they killed this, they did this, they had an ox kill somebody. And I guarantee you, I bet you don't want to kill nobody. I bet you pay attention. I bet that brings accountability to the value of God's people. See, whenever that accountability comes and we see that, man, it's just too, you know, God says it will deter people. The reason why when David killed that giant, God's army was strengthened because he came out and cursed God every day. And David said, he's a little guy. He may be tall, but he's got a little man's heart. I'll take him on and kill him. And they celebrated because that giant was murdering people and would have murdered God's army. But God loved everybody on both sides of that mountain. Got it? So he's not against people. He's against sin. And we're all sinners, so we need to understand what's important to God. And so when it comes to be part of that, now, in Exodus 22, verses 2 and 3, it talks about the premeditated. Listen to this. Exodus 22, verse 2 and 3. If there's a thief that's found breaking into and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt or bloodshed. If a guy breaks into my house and I kill him, no guilt. I was protected in my house. Verse 3. If the sun rises on him, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. He should make full restitution. If he is nothing, then he is sold, shall be sold for his theft. So, if you pay restitution, if nobody dies, he pays back what he stole, full restitution. Therefore, if the thief is certainly found alive in the hand, whether it be an ox or donkey or sheep, he shall be restored double. So if somebody breaks in my house and I kill him to protect my family, God says it's no guilt. See, God's fair, isn't he? Think about that. You know why? God's here to protect your life and my life. And he knows a righteous war. Take out the enemy. Because if the enemy becomes stronger than the Christians, because of our guilt that we don't think people should die, well, I'm going to tell you something. God's ways are not my ways. My thoughts are not his thoughts. But his is always better than mine. I've had people in prison who I loved and met on death row. And they were guilty. And they were going to the chambers. And I've heard them tell me, I deserve this, preacher. I killed him. He deserved it. That's tough to say, isn't it? Or should I say, well, he killed him, but this is 2020, and we're not barbaric no more, and so we're all kind of real feeling emotions, so we'll let them live and feed them for the rest of their life, and then every prisoner they talk to in prison, they can talk about how they killed somebody. God wants evil stopped. You know why? He wants the love of Christ to be in my family, to be in my church, to be in my town. And if we cannot understand what right and wrong is, we're just doomed. So the difference is there. Now, when I put my emotions in gear, when I meet this man in prison, and he was a murderer, and I talk to him, and I see how God has forgiven him, how sweet he is, and how far he's become, I want to fight for his life. But God says, no. You kill, you be killed. Because God knows that's the way to stop it. Now, I'm going to read you in the Bible here just now. In Exodus chapter 31, when they built the temple, man, it was a big deal when Moses built that temple. You know what God says? If they don't show up in church on Sunday, kill them. That's how he dealt with backsliders. Aren't you glad you're under grace? Say amen. Amen. Now, that doesn't seem fair. But let me read that to you. Man, when he built the temple, it was a big day. Things were going very good, and Moses was exciting. And so he began to speak to him about all that happens in chapter 31. Let me get back to chapter 31. In 31, I'm going to be at verse 12 and 14. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that sanctifies you. I want everybody in the world to know. God's, I want everybody in the world to know I am God that sanctifies you through the atonement of those priests and the blood that was shed on that cross, on that altar. I want you to know that. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does not work on it, the person shall be cut off from among the people. Now, I wonder what this church in America would be like if we was all in church rehearsing how much we've made in the image of God and how we need to be working hard to have a good reflection. And we got to come here. You know what God knows? He knows us. He knows if we can get away from church. Let me tell you something. If the devil can talk you out of church, he can talk you out of anything. He can take you right to an affair. He can right take you to a thief. If the devil can talk you out of going to church, here's what I tell people. I've been telling this for a long time. God wants you in the church. The devil doesn't. Who owns you today? Who owns you today? Well, I don't have to go to church. I'm under grace. But God sure like for you to go to church because it'll protect you and your family and your loved ones. Got it? It changes us. So see, this commandment, thou shalt not murder, it just seems like it's just simple. It's not simple at all. God is a serious God. He is the Lamb of the world. He is the lover of the world. But he's serious about the Lord's Day. And let me say this. The least kept commandment of all of them is the Lord's Day commandment. Less than 20% of the people in this world keep that commandment. And you wonder why we don't know what right and wrong is? We wonder why the courts in America are upside down? Because the church house lost its way of right and wrong. And we okay it because of personalities, because the people are so loving, because the people have done this. Let me tell you something. God took them out because evil will destroy your life and infects us. You think this virus infects us? Well, let me tell you what's infecting us more than this virus is sin. You know what's destroying America today? It isn't this virus. It's sin. It's sin. And we want to excuse everything because, it's just hard. Isn't it hard? Let me ask you something. If God is your Savior, He's your provider, and here's your, Sherry was telling me today that she just had another test run. She's been fighting cancer for, 2 years, 3 years? 2 years. She got another test. She's cancer-free. Every time she goes and takes that test, Sherry's heart's broken praying for that healing of God. It's serious, isn't it, Sherry? And it's serious when we do it His way. He wants to take away sin. And if God can take care of us, can He protect us? You say yes. He's a great God. Amen? I want you to know. And so all that happens, and as I close this sermon today, it's important for us to understand that God, even in the book of Numbers, set cities of refuge. Here's what this is for. Say you murdered somebody, maybe in self-defense, and if they caught you, life for life, you died. But if you were innocent, if it was not malicious, He set up cities of refuge. He set up 6 cities of refuge on both sides of that river. So if you could go to the city in refuge, you know what you would get? You'd get a trial. And that trial would decide if you're guilty. In order to be found guilty for murder, one witness wasn't enough. You had to have 2 witnesses for murder. But if you run to that, and you get that city of refuge, and you're there, you have a trial, then you can be set free. And you can go back into the world again. So He set up a way for those people who were trying to save their lives in that city of refuge. And He begins to work in their lives. In the refuge, chapter 35, verse 6. Now among the cities which you will give to the Levites shall appoint 6 cities of refuge to which a manslayer may flee, and to those who shall add 42 cities. So He set up a lot of cities of refuge so you can flee to them. But if they catch you before you get there, they can kill you. But if you're innocent, run to that city because you'll have a trial. Verse 9, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan in the land of Canaan, and you shall appoint cities and cities of refuge to you, and the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. So he put them on both sides of the river. You can flee that city and have a case. You can have a trial. And you'll be found innocent or guilty. If you're going to be found innocent or guilty of murder, it'd take two witnesses for that to happen. They didn't have DNA back in those days. It took two. So see, God is fair all the way through. God declares righteous war. David, Saul killed thousands as a king, and David killed 10,000. That's people protecting God's kingdom. Got it? All the way through your Bible. You celebrate that. How righteous war frees up us. How righteous war takes care of God's children. That's the way this is made. Let me tell you something. When you look at a little baby in the hands of a mama or somebody, and you tell me that it's okay to do something to that baby, I can't figure that out. I can't see how. Everybody can't figure that out. I can't. We live in a world today that don't know right from wrong. We live in a world today that's more interested in rights than what's right. We will defend rights and cancel God's right in doing it. And we do it every day in America. And we live with that and don't even realize it. Well, I want to take us to one more verse of Scripture and say, here it comes. I'm going to learn something right now. In 1 John, if you would, chapter 3. I want to read this. This is an awareness. Do not marvel, my brethren, in the world that hates you. John's talking about how the Christians are persecuted and how they died. Remember about all the Christians that persecuted in the Bible and through history and through our land, how they died for the cause of Christ? If anybody even said boo to you, you'd stay home. Anybody threatened to kill you to go to church, would you go? But they hated these people. We know that you have passed through death to life because we love the brethren. And who does not love his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. That's church folks, people. We all hurt each other. We've all said some dumb things. We have malice in our heart. And I need to talk to God every day and worship Him to keep that level and balanced in my life. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life abide in him. Now, let me go back. How does this work? Now, I'm made in the image of God. You're made in the image of God. We're born again. We have the Holy Spirit of Christ in us, right? And so my image should always reflect God. Got it? And what is God? Love. Does people hurt us? Yes. Does people hate us? Yes. But what do we do to respond? What is our response? We love them back. We will love. We'll die loving. We will die loving. But you don't hate them. You don't say bad things about them. You don't run them out. You don't. But the Bible says there's a lot more murderers in this room than you realize. That'll keep you awake tonight. Who's hurt you? Who's abused you? It's wrong. But if you don't forgive them, you will murder them socially in your life for the rest of your life. If you don't forgive your church members, you will hate them for the rest of your life. The Bible says murder is terrible. And God knows that the world knows that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and how well we do what? Love one another. And you know what love's toughest work is? Forgiveness. It'll take you from murder. Love's toughest work is forgiveness. And we wonder why the world looks at church folks and say on Monday they talk just like me, they act just like me, and what's the difference? Why should I have to go to church? because they get mad at the break room like everybody else. They tell them nasty jokes like everybody else. They laugh at nasty jokes just like everybody else. And why in the world should I need to go to church? Because I've hung around Christians and I can't see no difference. They get mad like I do. They cuss like I do. They do all this stuff like I do. And God says, you're in my image. I'm not going to let you hang around very long like that. I'll take you out. 1 Corinthians 13, where some that died because they were messing up the communion table, he took them home. He took them home. God is a serious, he has a serious side. Can we say amen to that? Do we understand this message? Let's love one another. Let's forgive one another. Let's make this thing work. Let's make it work well. Let's protect our children, number one. Man, I pray for our school system. Our school system is in disarray. We don't know how to do this. We're trying to figure it out. I pray for leadership there all the way down as we try to protect our children and educate our children. It's pretty important to educate our children. There's got to be a way. And we got to find that way, always working. And the challenge is every day it changes. And so we must pray for our nation, our virus, all these things that are destroying so much that God's people can champion and be different. If you're a Christian educator, you got better news than those who aren't. You know what grace is. You know what forgiveness is. And you know what life is. And we're in his image. Be careful. It's easy to get there. Premeditated and don't even know it. I talked to a lady yesterday who lost her son from a drunk driver. She says, Brother Ron, I drive by those taverns. I just hate those people. That tavern is where that guy came out of to kill my son. I hate those people in there. I sit down for an hour with her. Don't hate those people. They're God's people too. Let's love them. Let's convert them. Quit hating because your son's death will destroy your life if you can't forgive. That's real easy for me to say, but it takes the Holy Spirit of God to pull that off in their lives. Amen?